Welcome back to Recovering From Everything, a podcast for everyone who has ever had anything happen to them ever. Guys, I want to start by saying thank you so much for all the listens on the last episode with Heather. It's officially the most listened to episode, with a close second being the episode with Lauren called The Biggest Losers, where her ex-boyfriend set her house on fire and glued her doors and windows shut. And then a close third is the episode with Lindsay called The Aftermath of Addiction, where she details her relationship with her brother and how his substance use and death affected her. Big, big episodes, you guys, all of them. Thank you so much for listening. It's been almost 3 weeks since my last episode. As you know, I sometimes feel a lot of guilt about this and I feel a lot of pressure. So I've had to sort through that and give myself a bit of grace. When I was releasing this podcast weekly, it was so mentally exhausting. Just from processing so much in such a quick amount of time. So I think bi-weekly is probably best for me, especially since I'm not getting paid for this shit. Though I am open to sponsorships and advertising, for sure. Okay, let's talk about today's episode. The past couple of weeks have been a bit of a mindfuck for me, pardon my language, but it's me. And I've been trying to navigate the waters of anger, which has been difficult. If you've ever felt angry or resentful or frustrated, you know, all those sort of like red emotions, you know how heavy that can be. I really didn't know where to put all of it, but if I'm being honest, I think I kept it in. I kept it in and let my racing thoughts about other people kind of run the show. So, you know, how obnoxious other people have been, how annoying, how self-centered, they're attacking me, they don't love me, they don't respect me, blah, blah, blah. And I truly think I had no idea how angry I was feeling until my mom asked so pointedly and at the perfect time, "How are you doing?" My first response was a shutdown. I said, "I feel nothing." But pretty quickly, I was like, no, you know what? I'm angry. I'm frustrated. I'm annoyed. I'm confused. I feel guilty. And generally, I feel like a piece of shit. And there it was, a true connection with myself in that moment. I think I shocked my mom, to be honest. So I had all these feelings now that were just brimming at the surface, and I didn't know what to do with them. So I emailed my therapist and met with her a couple of days later, virtually, which is the best because I can vape during sessions. Anyway, we started talking about compassion and what it looks like in my relationships. And I've been thinking heavily about this because if compassion is the feeling I experience when someone around me is suffering, then compassion looks really different inside of my mind and my heart based on who the suffering person is. And when it came to my dad, my compassion had left the building. He continues to live in a hospital, eating hospital food, doped up on pain meds, but in a lot of pain nonetheless. He had his toe amputated, but there is a mystery bacteria affecting his increasingly blacker and blacker foot. And after my therapy session, I started seriously working on whether I could feel compassion for someone who had hurt me. Would I be able to let my guard down and be vulnerable again with myself, but also with him? Let's discuss, shall we? When my therapist suggested I approach my dad from a vulnerable place of compassion, where I acknowledge his suffering and give him even just a teaspoon of love, I told her, "Listen, I don't even want to crack open that window because in the past, when I had set boundaries for myself with someone, having compassion had caused me to backslide. One of my fears of letting people back in is to have them attack me again, like a Trojan horse, you know? Also, I was like, are you out of your mind? Absolutely not. You're fired. But not because she is the best human and I would never kick her out of my life. But I was just so closed off to that idea. She then took me through a lengthy discussion about how I've been cycling through blaming and checking out, blaming and checking out, blaming and checking out. And my God, this woman is brilliant. There was like a whole diagram she made me draw and everything. It actually reminded me of how I work with my clients. So many diagrams. Anyway, once I thought about it, I had been checking out the last few months, to be honest. Since January, probably, I have watched every series in the world, and I will do multiple things at the same goddamn time just so I don't have to have one single thought. And I'm only like slightly exaggerating. And it probably actually started in December, if I really think about it. My romantic relationship was getting annoying as fuck. Then for Christmas, I was trapped in Toronto for a couple of extra days with my family, which ended up being slightly traumatic. A lot of it was fun, but had I come back home when I intended, I wouldn't have had this one experience and then decided to just check out of my relationship with my dad. Then my partner and I ended things, and I was in an immense amount of pain all the time and trying to evolve with the weight of that pain. Plus, I wasn't speaking to my dad. So that was all like a lot, and I had to work really hard to check out, and I could only handle what I could handle when it came to sorting through those feelings. And fuck, even feeling some of those feelings, I was on like a slow trickle instead of opening the tap entirely, you know? Not that I could have handled opening the tap entirely. Also, as we know, I love to hold a righteous grudge. Love it. Despite how shitty it makes me feel, I get to sit on this like moral high horse, you know? Love it. But to be honest, it feels like shit most times. And right now, with everything my dad is going through and everything my mom is going through, trying to support him, I felt like the biggest piece of shit in the world hiding behind the walls that I had built. But at the same time, I like it here. It's quiet. I never have to do the work of being vulnerable. But as my dad's condition worsened and it was just bad news after bad news, and everyone in my family was stepping up to support him in some way, it just didn't feel right for me to have so much emotional distance. But I will say, thank fuck for physical distance, because if I was still living in Toronto, I don't think I could handle the pressure of going from barely any contact to, you know, you're going to see him at the hospital, right? Like all the time, you know? Baby steps. Anyway, my thoughts about compassion have been swirling this past week. I wrote a lot and tried to make sense of what I truly wanted deep down. I mean, and it started with, I gave myself permission and sort of forced open the door with a crowbar to figure out what I truly wanted deep down. And deep down, what I want is to have a connection with my dad like we have had in the past. He and I have had great chats. He's very practical and funny and supportive and has my best interest at heart. And I remembered, in fact, for a while, my relationship with my dad was way better than my relationship with my mom. But I think after COVID and spending more and more time away from my family, I was no longer used to our family dynamics, and I became pretty intolerant of them. Like when I would be around them a few times a year the last couple of years, it would just weigh so heavily on me, and I just wasn't accustomed to it anymore. Plus, I have changed a lot on the inside. My focus in the last couple of years has been on securing and maintaining inner peace, dissecting some of my thought patterns, changing some of the behaviors associated with them, working on my spirituality, all of that. And it's hard to do that when someone is yelling at the dinner table about wanting more salt or whatever. I also wonder if some of the bricks in my wall come from a place of denial. Like, hearing about my dad's ailments, and there have been so many over the years, like so many. Hearing about my dad's ailments has made me irritated for the most part, like inconvenienced even. And I totally hear how I sound like an absolute fucking monster. I hear this. And you can bet I told my mom and my therapist that I know I sound like a monster, but this podcast is about truths. And I know I'm not the only one who has felt this way about their complex relationships with aging parents. So I do wonder if I am holding on to denial a bit, because if his health isn't as bad, I will never have to look at our relationship and make necessary changes. You know, like if everything stays the same, then everything stays the same. And that's comfortable for me. And probably about 10, 12 years ago, my dad was given 2 to 3 years to live, and he's still here, and he'll probably outlive us all, honestly, with his luck. So like, I can just deny his misery and suffering, and then I will never have to make any changes about how I've been acting, you know? Anyway, if I stay in denial, I never have to make amends. I never have to text him or call or visit or have anything lengthier than a hello. And I get to stay mad and stay distant. And apparently that was fine by me until it wasn't. Our family group chat was created a few weeks ago. And since then, our shit has been blowing up with constant updates from my dad's hospital stay. He's consistently been in the hospital for about 6 weeks now, save for 1 week at home with my mom, and I know he is suffering. The past few weeks, when I had let myself think even for a second about connecting with my dad, I swear I could hear like a heavy vault door slamming shut. So, but now that all of my feelings have come to the surface and I've had this amazing therapy session and this big vent session with my mom, I have to try something else. Instead of coming from a place of blame or checking out, been there, done that, got the t-shirt, it's scratchy and uncomfortable. I need to try to come at this from a place of compassion for my dad, but also for myself, and at the exact same time. So I have to first figure out what my truest, most vulnerable need is. I know from journaling that I want some kind of connection. My fears pushed aside of what may happen, and trust me, those fears are loud and at the surface and ready to fight. The very vulnerable nugget is that I want a connection with my dad. I hop over blame and skip checking out, and I take this need directly to my higher self. She is wise and calm and makes good shit happen. She takes care of my inner child. And I don't know if that sounds like hokey to you guys, but picturing myself as three different versions, a child, my present self, and an older, wiser self has helped me so much. So I say, you know, WWWKD, what would wise Kinga do to get Kinga's needs met? Older, wiser Kinga would also recognize that someone in my life is suffering and I am able to give him a little bit of love. And these things have to happen at the same time. What does he need and what do I need? And do those things intersect? Now, if I think about what it would be like for him to have basically lived in a hospital for the past 6 weeks, losing a toe and now losing part of his leg, and watching his body turn different shades of purple and black and die off, and eating hospital food every day and not to be able to walk to the bathroom even, what would that person want? He would probably want a little bit of love. Well, we are in luck because all I have to offer is a little bit of love. So the wiser version of me takes my vulnerable need and I decide to explicitly text him something true. I texted him, "I'm thinking about you and I hope you are doing okay today." And that is the honest to goodness truth. I was thinking about him that day and I do hope that he's doing okay. This gives my dad some love while also giving me a little bit of the connection I long for in a very safe way. It's just a text. It's not a question. It's not a whole long ass conversation. It is just a text saying, hey, thinking about you in a really loving way. And I compare this to a few weeks ago, my boyfriend and I went to visit him in the hospital. We were there for an hour, but probably the last 30 minutes, I was so incredibly overwhelmed and overstimulated, and I could feel a panic attack coming on. It was unexpected. And I think I rushed things, to be honest. I think I had put on my mask of playing the concerned and caring daughter, and it was way too much, way too soon. I now know that I have to do this slowly and methodically. So we texted twice last week. We even laughed and we even FaceTimed briefly. And the FaceTime was kind of a lot for me. I took a nap after. But this weekend, when my mom told me that my dad was losing his foot, I started crying to my boyfriend. And I said, I just feel sad for him. And I decided to FaceTime him. And I said, I don't need you to say anything comforting. I just want you to know that I'm thinking about you. And like I said, my dad is so practical and funny. He said, you know, it was his decision to get rid of the infected foot. And then he made a joke about getting a wooden peg and buying a parrot for his shoulder. And that conversation ended up being the comfort I needed in that moment. And I'm pretty sure he was happy to hear from me too, because he put his book down to answer my call. And that man loves his books. So this is huge progress packaged into small, bite-sized, palatable, safe actions. And I love that for me, and I love that for him. But for today, I'm going to give myself a bit of space, and I will text him tomorrow or in a couple of days. Compassion for him and compassion for me. I remember reading this essay in high school English that said that empathy is the mother of compassion. And if I put myself in my dad's shoes, soon to be my dad's shoe, I guess, I would want a little bit of extra love during a hard time. Not to have to face any long-standing grudges or the issues that another person has with me. I would just want some love. So with my compassionate heart singing a bit of a different tune to my dad now, I am able to show this man who is suffering a little bit of love, which in turn melts the ice around my own heart and my needs, my truest needs of connection to my father can also be met. Cool, right? Thank you for listening to another episode of Recovering from Everything, a podcast for everyone who has ever had anything happen to them ever, including being mad at your dad who is about to lose his foot. I'll see you soon. Love you.